Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 3:03 p.m. that is Central Time. Today is May 15th. I thought I'd kick off today with Japan, where the Nikkei was up just over 200 points, but clearly firming within this range that's been going on for the last 2.5 years, and very easily demonstrable evidence of it finding support in the region of the 1,000-day moving average on several occasions during that time. But I think it's most particularly relevant to look at Japan over the long term. And this has been a really quite orderly consolidation, having broken out of the long-term base formation. So there's clearly the potential that the next breakout from a range will take the index up towards the 35,000 level. So I'm a little bit reticent to buy an overbought condition in the short term, but I'd certainly be considering buying a dip in Japan because I think there's certainly the potential for additional upside. Now, when we think about the banking sector, it was also in firmer territory in here today. So Japanese banks have had the big setback earlier this year, but then have rebounded from the region of the 200-day moving average. And I think this is still a reasonably benign environment, particularly since the index hasn't really been able to sustain a breakout in quite some time, and the 200 area was a meaningful area of resistance. If it can sustain a move above that level, and most particularly hold support in the region of the 200-day moving average, then we can, I think, with reasonable confidence, conclude that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And then China's markets were also in strongly positive territory this morning. So the CSI 300 was up nearly 2%, firming from the lower side of its range. This is exactly what it needs to do in order to demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. ICBC put in an upside key day reversal, having reversed a lot of the enthusiasm last week around the possibility that the People's Bank of China will be more accommodating towards the banking sector. It did find support in the region of the upper side of that underlying trading range, and there's an upside follow-through tomorrow would certainly be a positive development. Now, when we then think about other markets in Asia, I thought what the action that we're starting to see in Malaysia was not particularly encouraging. That the index has been trending downwards for quite some time already, and there's still a sequence of lower rally highs. Then, neighborly, just I guess the neighboring country, Indonesia, was in positive territory today and is so far holding the breakout from that range that proceeded between 2018 and 2021. There was the election in Thailand today, so the SET index was down. And there's the possibility that a Democrat-oriented coalition will be formed, and that might even open up a path for Thaksin Shinawatra to be allowed back into the country without being immediately thrown in prison. And it does suggest that there is an impending conflict about between Democrats and royalists. So, and of course, royalists is a euphemism for the military. So we'll certainly see what happens, but this does look like a developing Type 3 top formation. And then when we think about the currency, well, the Thai baht had really quite an impressive rally from its lows in late. Oh dear. Don't know what fell off my table there. Well, I do apologize for the noise, but the Thai baht really did have a storming rally, and now it is pausing in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. So we'll see what happens next. If it can sustain a move through the 1,000-day moving average, well, then we're clearly in a demand-dominated environment. But this is a meaningful area of potential resistance, so We will definitely see what happens. If obviously, if the stock market were to break downwards, then that's unlikely to be positive for the currency. And then let's just pay attention to what's happening in Australia, where the ASX 100 was also in positive territory, taking its cue from what's going on in China. So it is steady in the region of the 200-day moving average, and that's certainly a positive development. And this range that's been going on now for the last couple of years is quite similar to the ranging environment we see in several other stock markets, even though we're still in a tight monetary environment. But what we definitely saw on Wall Street today was that the stock market was willing to take some heart from some of the statements made by Fed officials that perhaps we're at the peak of the interest rate cycle and that they won't be cutting rates until 2024. And usually it's when they start cutting rates that you get the worst of the selling pressure, but perhaps in the intervening period between when they stop raising rates and when they eventually start cutting them, then perhaps markets can go higher. And I think that's the logic that's helping to support the market right now. Now, the S&P 500 has been ranging below 4,200 since August of last year. And so far, this range that's been underway for the last month has been quite orderly. The Nasdaq continues to advance, although modestly, but there's certainly an upward bias to trading overall as it comes back up to test that peak from back in August as well. But it is well above the 200-day moving average. And that expectation that we're at the peak of the interest rate hiking cycle, well, that's also helped to reinvigorate some interest in the regional banks index, which was in positive territory as well in here today. Now, then let's think about how things are looking for UK markets, because the FTSE 100 is also stabilizing above the 200-day moving average. It looks quite similar to what we've seen, for example, on the ASX 200 in Australia. And the banking index was in positive territory today as well in the UK. So certainly firming here. So there's definitely more of a risk-on environment in the broad stock market in here today. Then the dollar was a little weaker. So I think that we had a good size rally over the last couple of days and a little bit of easier action in here today. Even with a whiff of dollar weakness, then commodities were quite a bit firmer. So the gold price has continuing to steady around the 2000 level, and the oil price was also in positive territory today, although it really does have to hold the 70 level if the benefit of the doubt is to be given to the upside. Where we're certainly seeing more interest is in soft commodities. And in the wheat markets, we've had a good sized pullback, but then prices are now starting to steady. And that 600 cent level is the upper side of the underlying trading range, and prices have more than halved from the peak about a year ago. So we've seen a sufficiently large decline that investors might begin to think that there's opportunity. And then the corn price has also come into an area of potential support around the 1,000-day moving average. Soybeans had also sold off, but are also beginning to demonstrate a little bit of support, starting to come back in around the 1,400 cent level. Then coffee prices were also in stronger or in a stronger position today. So Arabica coffee bouncing from the 180 cent level and holding the sequence of higher reaction lows. Robusta coffee has been leading on the upside and is on the cusp of extending that breakout. And that's certainly a very bullish development where we see prices breaking out of a range that's been underway now since 2011. So there is the very real possibility we're going to see new all-time highs for the reformulated contract. And It's really a jolly long time since we've seen prices at those levels. Let me see if I can go back and just pull up a chart of the CF contract. I don't think they even support it on Bloomberg much more. But now we can just see that prices there have had significantly higher levels in the past. And potentially, it really would depend on how does the El Nino develop in Brazil, but it could deliver more frosty weather. Well, if that were the case, then that would really be problematic for coffee prices. And of course, by that I mean that they would go higher. Then sugar prices continue to march higher, and that's in response to India not exporting as much. And the Nifty index continues to march higher. So it was up another 84 points in here today. But I think it's particularly relevant to pay attention to the Indian banks. And the BankEx is pushing up to make new all-time highs and closing above that big psychological 50,000 point level. So this is really quite a benign looking chart, and there's certainly the potential for additional upside. But what we can definitely see here is that it is emerging markets and commodities are clearly leading on the upside, and they're taking their cue from the potential for a weaker dollar, and that even though Wall Street is steady and European markets are relatively benign, it's certainly there's more action in some of the emerging markets. And it's not just Asian emerging markets. The Bulgarian index was up in quite a dynamic manner in over the last couple of weeks and firming from the region of the 200-day moving average. So, as we look around the world, there's certainly the potential here that countries where there is a steadier currency and where there is the potential for growth are going to continue to attract investor interest. Now, the Brazilian real is now closing below the 1,000-day moving average, and the central bank has been very clear that they're in no hurry to cut rates. And you have some of the highest positive real rates in the world in Brazil. And I think that's a reasonable template for what we might anticipate from other central banks. So you have a stronger currency, and you have China, which is potentially now going to make more credit available to the economy. So the Brazilian market was up another 600 points today, and it is firming from the lower side of its range. But of course, that is in local currency terms. And what, of course, foreign investors will be paying attention to is the fact that it is now firming from the lower side of this range that's been forming for 6 years. So the incredible depreciation of the real from the peaks back in 2008 has really just taken it out of contention as a place where investors would be willing to put money. But as the currency appreciates, that's going to make it more attractive. As commodity prices remain firm, that's also going to raise the profile of Brazil as an investment destination. And then, of course, we have the continued outperformance of the Mexican peso. And now the pace of the advance is really starting to pick up. So this is probably one of the strongest currencies in the world right now. And it's certainly helping the outlook for the US dollar denominated Mexican ETF, where it is clearly rallying now. And Mexico is likely to be one of the primary beneficiaries of the reshoring movement, or friendshoring or nearshoring, however one wants to describe the China plus one manufacturing trend, then Mexico is likely to be one of the primary beneficiaries of that trend. And I do anticipate that we're going to have a significant bull market. I would say that I do often talk about the guys on my tennis team. They're a very varied bunch of people, but one of them is a property developer in Mexico, and he's been spending every weekend down there building apartment complexes. And he's reporting that the economic activity is picking up, that there is a really a very quick demand for housing, and that it is looking at very bullish. Although he would be the first to add the caveat that the political situation is far from something that anyone would brag about. Now, when we think then about what will that look like? Well, one thing that I thought was most particularly relevant is when we look at the S&P equal weighted index relative to the S&P 500. Well, it's clearly underperforming. So breadth in the market is certainly deteriorating. And then when we think about the sector that is performing, well, then it really has to have something to do with artificial intelligence. And the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index is firming from the region of the 200-day moving average. So I think that's where the clear performance is coming from in the US markets. And in European markets, it's going to be more a focus on infrastructure development. And then I think additionally, where you're going to have potential dual use types of technologies, both industrial and military. Then also the kinds of markets that will provide emerging developing markets with what they want. Because as currencies appreciate relative to the US dollar, then demand for imports increases and upskilling, and then a rising demand for better quality items also is very much associated with an appreciating currency. And that's something that both Europe and Japan would generally do very well from. So there's clearly the potential that we're going to see the US no longer be the primary beneficiary of flow, and that ultimately it will be emerging markets, commodity markets, and the rise of the global consumer will be the primary trend over the next several years. And I think with that, I'll leave it for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.